This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hour number two, the Diehards right here, SportsMap Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Bobby Krubitsky taking you guys up until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sorry to disappoint the masses out there. You tuned in looking for Anthony Pepe. Anthony Pepe not in the house this evening. He's out making his millions with his brand new extravaganza, his company. Is it Kraft Foods and Food Truck Festivals? Food Truck Festivals and Kraft Beer, or just Food Truck Festivals of America? He's got to rebrand it to, I think it's Food Truck Festivals and Kraft Beer, and keep it at that. Because to me, as a 41-year-old guy that enjoys both food trucks and craft beer, that appeals to me. So you want to get me and my family in there? You want to tell me about your food, and you want to tell me about your craft beers. And if they're good, I'm there. There's no price too high to pay. You, Bobby, might not show up, though, because COVID scare. Because
this is the perfect thing, because you can do it outdoors. You can have some spread distance to it. And so I'm all for it, where it checks all the boxes, including what you're coming for. Who doesn't love a food truck that's delivering quality grub? You throw in the beer.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds not
perfect.
Coming?
It's perfect. Now, last week was the first time you and I have interacted and done a show together. I didn't know anything about your beliefs when it comes to COVID at all when we walked in the door. I walked in the door. You did not have a mask on. We are inside. And I would venture to guess that we have been closer than 6 feet at times during the program. Is that why you back up a little bit when we're doing the program? Do I get too close sometimes? Is that what's happening here?
I didn't even realize that I had backed up at all. Yeah. It's not my favorite to be, you know, indoors with people who I don't really know and all that, with no mask, but it comes to the territory. You got to make sacrifices in this industry.
There's a closeness. There's a bondness happening here, Bobby. You don't have to worry about me. I can feel the tight-knit friendship being built as we speak. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Bobby Krubitsky. We are the Diehards. When we come back, we'll tour the NBA. It's not just the Boston Celtics. There's this whole glut of action happening out there, and I get to talk about it with you. We are the Diehards.
You're listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
It is The Diehards, or we are The Diehards. Depends on which pronoun
both
you
work.
Are. Yeah, it is. We are The Diehards right here on the SportsMap Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Bobby Krubitsky hanging out with you guys until 10 o'clock Eastern Time. I was jacked and I was pumped to have the show here tonight, even more jacked and pumped to know the fellow NBA guy was in with me. I was really feeling a tremendous effort coming from the Celtics, an opportunity to come back to Boston with fans coming back to the stands this weekend, tied up at one game apiece. And while the Celtics are on the run, an 11-2 run in the last 3 minutes, it is still a 24-point game with 3 minutes to go in the third. So we turn our attention away from what's taking place in Boston. Evan Fournier, Kevin Durant jarring at each other, going at it. I like to see that, by the way.
It was real clear what Fournier just said to him.
Absolutely it was. It was French or English, it was very clear. But we turn our attention away from the Celtics, who have still got a monumental hill to climb, to the rest of the league, because I think the playoffs have been wildly entertaining, whether you're a fan of the play-in tournament or not. The play-in tournament was awesome. The Lakers got pushed to the limit. It was entertaining. Fans got involved. And it meant something, I think, to not only the local markets, but the players as well. You could be the Lakers and bitch about it all you want. They got pushed to the edge, and that's what you're looking for if you're a fan of the NBA. And that's what you're looking for if you're the commissioner of the NBA. You want to see these teams have an equal opportunity to sort of beat each other. So what are we, a week into the playoffs, 10 days in when you count the play-in tournament, Bobby? Are you impressed with what you've seen this year in the first sort of post-bubble year that we've had in the NBA?
I'm loving it. And if you expand it to include the postseason tournament. So to me, the play-in tournament is the postseason, but it's not the playoffs. So, but if you expand it to include that, Tatum goes for 50. LeBron adds to his legacy with a 35-footer with one eye. And so it's been a really impressive tournament. The Grizzlies beat Steph Curry to get into the playoffs. So it, you know, it adds to John Morant's building legacy in his second year in the NBA.
Sure.
And so I've loved it so far. And then we get the real best of seven series cooking. And Lakers-Suns was a fantastic game.
Yep.
I want to get into that. Hawks-Knicks, I knew it was going to be my favorite matchup going into this thing. And sure enough, it delivers, comes all the way down to the end. Trae Young has a historic performance in his first playoff game, and it's at Madison Square Garden. What better venue to do it in than the world's most famous arena? And he's going at it. They're panning to Spike Lee right after. He tells the crowd to be quiet. So that was an electric moment. You know, the late night West Coast games that people aren't really watching, I'm telling you, at least get the highlights the next day. Grizzlies, they go into Utah and upset the Jazz in game one. I know Donovan Mitchell wasn't there, but like I said, John Morant just continues to add to his legacy. He was looking at Utah like it's lunch money. And then, of course, we've been talking during the break about Luka the Don and the performance against the Clippers, who it didn't matter what they did, had no answer for Doncic.
So you've mentioned Luka Doncic, you mentioned John Morant, and these guys are transcendent type of talents, right? And you've also mentioned old school players like LeBron James and the Lakers. You mentioned the Suns. We know Chris Paul has made all the difference in the world there. But if you're starting a franchise tomorrow with one of these young guys, who do you pick? Because to me, there seems to be four or five. You mentioned Trae Young. There's four or five guys out there that are capable of putting a franchise on their shoulders for the next decade. Which one has the best chance to be the multi-time champion, the perennial all-star, the guy that you look back at 20 years from now, and there's no question he's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
So Trae Young as an undersized point guard is not on my list. Luka Doncic, maybe I'm skipping someone right now that I shouldn't be, but he's ready to compete and win titles as the best player on a team right now. And he's in his early 20s. So I'm going to ride with Luka Doncic. And actually, and I promise this is not a homer pick, but just look at the build, look at the game. Jason Tatum is right up there with him. Now I go with Doncic, who he was the best player in the second best league in the world at 16 years old. And all his run through 20 years old, I believe maybe it was 19, in Europe and what he did over there and in these international tournaments as well, where even on a team with Goran Dragic, Dragic knows the guy with the ball in his hands at the end of the game has to be Doncic, and he's delivering. And then he comes to Dallas, and he pushes the Clippers last year in his rookie campaign to the brink. And now he goes and he takes their lunch money in game one this time around. So I'm going to start with Luka Doncic because I know that we're going to be able to compete for titles as long as he's healthy.
So you say Luka is the guy, but in the same breath, you compared him or at least brought Tatum up. Maybe he's not on the same plane, but just a tick below
he's
him.
He's getting there. I think Tatum could win MVP.
So here's my question for you when it comes to Tatum. Why has Luka been able to sort of elevate the Mavericks and make them better year after year? They're much more competitive this year than they were last year, and last year than they were the year before. That's what you think of when you think of a great player, a guy that elevates his team and elevates the talent of the people around him. Whenever we talk about a guy like Larry Bird, what does Magic Johnson say? What does Michael Jordan say? They don't talk about Larry the player. They talk about Larry the competitor and Larry the teammate. Larry made every teammate of his better, which is ultimately what I think is the most important part of his legacy as a great player. Taking C-level talent and making them B-level talent, making them Hall of Famers. That's what you want in your best player. As much as I don't like LeBron James, look at the guys that he has dragged with him to the finals over the years, going back to the early days with Cleveland and even now with the Lakers. I know AD is there, but everybody else is just sort of coming along for the ride. But the moment LeBron James lands on your team, I don't care how many wins you had the previous year, how low your talent level is. You are competing to go to the finals. Bob Ryan, there is no better basketball mind in America, in my mind, than Bob Ryan. the day after the Celtics landed Kevin Garnett, and now they had their big three lined up in Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Bob Ryan wrote a scathing article about the Celtics saying they were going to get bounced in no more than the second round of the playoffs because they had the worst talent in the league, 4 through 12, on their roster before rosters went to 15. He was dead wrong. So that elite-level talent, having those guys, that one, that two, that can elevate your team, elevate your teammates, is what propels these teams to be great, not just for 3 years, 5 years, but for potentially a decade at a time. You don't think Jason Tatum's stock has fallen over the last couple of years, where once upon a time he was the young guy on the team on the rise, and then he sort of seemingly pisses off Kyrie Irving, forces out Gordon Hayward, and wants it to be his team, and now that it's his team, look at the result.
I think if you want to say the Celtics stock is on the decline, that's fine. Jason Tatum's stock is soaring, on the other hand. Let's circle back to his rookie year, which I believe was 2018. Time ceased to exist because we're just coming out of the pandemic now. But they go into the playoffs without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. And I know Jaylen Brown led the team in points per game, but Jason Tatum was the best player on that squad. And he takes them within a whisker of getting to the NBA Finals. He dunks on LeBron and chest bumps him in a Game 7. Then last year, they get all the way to the conference finals.
Yep.
And so I definitely think that he was making his teammates better and elevating them, even while not being much of a facilitator, and has rapidly improved in that regard, because most notably the Toronto Raptors challenged him to be able to do so. And all of a sudden, something we hadn't really seen from him before, he's throwing cross-court hook passes off the dribble to guys for threes, and now he comes into this year with that knowledge. This is how teams are going to play me, and these are some of the skill sets that I'm expanding into my repertoire. And so you see more and more growth from him as a facilitator this season. So I think he came into the league being able to elevate his teammates and is only getting better in that regard. Not to mention, he doesn't get enough credit for the work he's put into his body. So now when you look at how broad his shoulders are, he's more comfortable going through someone's chest to create space to finish at the rim, another element of his game that he's improving. So this is a league, as much as I love Doncic and stand by picking him if I can start the team with a young burgeoning star, this is a league that revolves around wing play. And Jason Tatum, as a 6'10", two-way wing, who's still only 14 years old, to go to the running joke, who's getting better and better every season,
yep,
I'll ride with him.
So, in your opinion, then, why have the Celtics struggled this year if Jason Tatum is this elite talent? It sounds to me like you haven't made a comparison, a comp player, but the ones that we've all heard over the years, Kevin Durant is a comp player, Kobe Bryant a comp player. The two things that Kevin Durant and Kobe Bryant have in common is they've been able to elevate their teams to at least be more competitive than this. Even in Kevin Durant's early days with OKC, he led them to the finals. They didn't win. They got swept up, but they had an opportunity. Early on, we know Kobe had his spats with Shaquille O'Neal, and then eventually that relationship fell apart. But he was able to win in two different ways, two different styles. One with the Shaq dominance, and one with the finesse and elegance of Pau Gasol. And that's two dramatically different ways of playing the same game. Both of those guys were able to do that throughout their careers. And still, you know, you've got a guy, I know he's young here in Jason Tatum, but it's his fourth year in the league. He's a multi-time All-Star now. He's got all the tools. So for him to take that next step into being a guy that you can build your team around and count on him to be the alpha night in and night out, what is that thing that he's missing, or is he not missing it? Am I missing it?
That's where I am. I think he's already there. To me, for the Celtics fans listening to this program right now, try not to overreact to this season, as hard as that may be. Because here's the reality.
Are you talking to me right now?
I'm talking to every Celtics fan.
Really, this is like therapy for me.
I promise you this is not indirect where I'm talking over you, but talking over this is what I'll tell you. Your team, Celtics fans, had more games missed due to COVID-19 than any other squad in the NBA this season. Your team was in a league where most of the other franchises also finished around 500 because of the nature of a condensed schedule where they're playing and traveling on a nonstop basis, even more so than usual, and there's no practice time for the most part. So don't get carried away. And on top of it, when you're looking towards holding the best player on the team accountable, recognize who's beneath him and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and company on this roster, where for much of the season they were relying on the likes of Jeff Teague to come through when the second unit comes into the game.
Well played.
So it's not a surprise that the Celtics underachieved this season. And to speak to a great point that you made earlier, look at the impact that going long in the bubble last year
yep.
had on the teams this season, where all of them regressed to some extent. So it's really not a surprise that the Celtics have gone through a slog of a season and not lived up to the expectations coming off a conference finals appearance.
We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. His name is Bobby Krivitsky. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Done lots of NBA, touched on the Julio Jones stuff in the NFL. Talked about the fans being welcomed back into the arenas slowly but surely as your baseball parks, your football stadiums will be full for OTAs, and of course the NBA welcoming fans back. And you know, in Boston, are they going to welcome them back here with boos or with cheers? It's looking like boos the way things are going here. We'll continue that conversation. Want to get into some NHL stuff as well. Tonight you get the Maple Leafs and Canadiens. Maple Leafs all over Montreal, up 3-0 going into the third. And the Predators and the Hurricanes, 2-1. Predators are winning that one right now, also going into the third. But I'm not a big NHL guy. The NHL playoffs, once again, proved to be simply amazing. You can be a casual NHL fan, a sports fan, but a casual NHL fan, somebody, if they're on, maybe you'll watch it, maybe you won't. I dare you. You put on any one of these NHL playoff games, they're addictive if you like sports and you like to be watch something that's competitive and watch something that really has the ability to trap you in and make you not want to leave. That's where I've found myself the last few nights watching the NHL. Want to touch on the NHL playoffs when we come back right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. You just heard the big voice guy talk about O'Reilly Auto Parts, and you guys want to make sure you stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. You want to kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, you purchase any SuperStart lawn and garden battery that gets you a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings, Bobby. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. So, you know, there's no secret. You're from the Basketball Insiders. I'm a hoophead. It's what we do primarily. But we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on what's happening in the NHL playoffs. And it's not just what's happening here in Boston. Of course, the Bruins, they've been outstanding thus far throughout these playoffs. They're probably the team in Boston that's closest to winning the next championship, in my opinion. But all that being said, if you're just a casual fan of sports and you want to see fun, competitive play, tune into the NHL playoffs because it's a different beast, a different animal. I think it's the game that changes the most the moment you enter the postseason.
It's made for TV viewing. The play is nonstop. So when you talked about before the break, you get trapped in it.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what happens because you can go about 10 minutes with no whistles, no commercial breaks.
Yep.
It's fast. It's physical. And you're absolutely right that there's something where the pace of play and the intensity of the game, you can feel it rise in the playoffs, which really isn't a surprise. That happens to an extent in any sport. But when you're on the ice, these guys, all of a sudden, they start flying. There's animosity built in before the first puck is even dropped. It's just a phenomenal product.
What's interesting to me is, you know, we talked about this last year when these teams were in their various bubbles throughout their leagues. And, you know, the NBA really suffered. Their product suffered in the postseason in the bubble last year. You know, for Celtics fans, I know it was exciting to watch our team go and have a chance to go to the finals, but ultimately it wasn't the same. They tried to bring in the virtual fans. It wasn't the same because I think so much of sport, especially playoff sports, is a product of the emotion from the fans, the emotion of what's on the line. The NHL sort of avoided that. If you watched the NHL playoffs last year in their own respective bubble, they were still super exciting and super intense. And for whatever reason, they were able to sort of skirt the issue of not having their fans in the arenas. And even this year, with limited numbers of fans in the arenas, again, it's the same intensity level that you become accustomed to in the postseason. You know, the NBA postseason's been exciting, But there's something to, and maybe it's because we were at those games back in the day, but there's something to watching the emotions swing in the arena. You know, you're down by nine. You hit two straight threes. The opposing team calls a timeout, and the Garden goes crazy and literally doesn't sit down for a complete four-minute timeout. Those moments you're not getting right now. You don't get them. In the NHL, I feel like what I've learned throughout COVID is you don't need those moments. The product of the game itself is what's happening in front of you. You don't need an artificially born moment to make it exciting.
Yeah, I love even watching on TV when there's a big hit or a goal and you see the crowd erupt. But it's a lot different than the NBA because one has a giant glass barrier plus netting dividing them from the action,
sure,
and from the players, whereas the other, even though they're a few rows removed, they are kind of right on top of the action, certainly more so than when you're at a hockey game. So to me, I think that you are right, where the NBA, it's more reliant on the fans being built into it than the NHL is. They can survive that hit more easily than the NBA can.
So of the four major sports, we don't have to get into the minutiae of soccer and lacrosse and everything else, but of the four major sports, is the NHL, in your opinion, is the NHL the one that sort of changes the most the moment they hit the postseason? Or is there another sport that sort of has that same trajectory of level of intensity the moment you hit the postseason? Because to me, there's no comparison to what we're seeing in the NHL right now.
So I think what happens in the NHL is that the intensity reaches a level that guys have been waiting for to get to the playoffs strategically. In the NBA, and I recognize that's the sport I'm covering, so someone could accuse me with bias. That's fine. I'll take it. But it's still true that in the NBA, the playoffs it's almost a different sport than the regular season, where when you're going from city to city for one matchup against an opponent and then it's on to the next, you're only locked into so much of that scouting report and it only runs so deep. In the playoffs, you have everyone's tendencies, and you have to beat opponents with your weaknesses. That's why we talked about with Tatum being able to grow as a facilitator on the fly. You need to do that to win and get to the next round. So the NBA, that strategic component changes drastically come playoff time.
But is some of what's making the NHL so special, as opposed to what the NBA is producing, especially early on in the playoffs, in the NHL, if a 7 seed, a 6 seed, an 8 seed happens to upset a 1, 2, or 3 seed, it's not that big of a deal. It happens.
Yes.
In the NBA, you almost know the outcome prior to these series getting started. Let's face it. How many times has an 8 seed upset a 1 seed? It very rarely happens. I think it's happened 3 times in my lifetime. 7 seed upset a 2 seed. Very rarely happens. You know, that top 4 really matters. What we saw last year with Miami being the 5 seed and making it to the NBA Finals, that's much more the aberration. It's the exception. It's not the rule. In the NHL, you see 4, 5, 6 seeds go to the Stanley Cup Finals quite often. So the moment you're in, as almost by definition, you've given yourself a chance to compete for a Stanley Cup championship. So does that sort of make the intensity rise early on in the playoffs as compared to the other sports?
Yeah, because everyone has a reason to buy in that their team can go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. And what's interesting is what it kind of throws out the window is the excuse that usually gets tossed around the NBA is, well, it's a best of 7 series, and that's why upsets don't happen. It's the same thing in the NHL,
right?
And upsets happen all the time. So I do love that the NBA is growing from a parity perspective, but the NHL has already been there.
Is that because there's one guy in the NHL that can really make the difference? Even if you're an average team that goes to the playoffs, I hate to use the term, but if you wind up with a hot goalie, that can overcome and sort of make up for a lack of talent, at least in the short term.
Yeah, and on top of it, you're not locked into playing, for example, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden for the bulk of a 48-minute contest. I know the NHL is a 60-minute game, but work with me here, people. And so what happens in the NHL is it's shifts, and they cycle through quickly. You're not out there that long unless you really extend shifts or you take your fourth line out of the game for a long stretch, for instance. So what happens is more people are on the ice as opposed to the star of the game who can dictate the action the most being out there for the bulk of it for long stretches before coming to the bench.
We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. His name is Bobby Kravitzky. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, I want to touch on Tom Brady real quick. 43 years old, seven-time Super Bowl champion, practicing with the veterans across the street from the practice facility in Tampa. Across the street. This guy can't get enough of playing football. He's like a kid in a candy store. He just loves to be competitive. Practicing across the street with Rob Gronkowski, just trying to get his reps in. He's something else. Want to talk about Tom. When we come back, we are the Diehards, and this is the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Bobby Kravitzky taking you guys up until 10 p.m. Eastern time. Talked a lot of hoops tonight. Talked some NFL, some NHL, and still got 20 minutes left here in the program, Bobby. And, you know, this is where I sort of throw it out to you. Again, I said this going into the second hour. You came up with some great ideas as program director. But I feel like there's something that we said we wanted to talk about tonight that we may have missed. Is there something on your mind that matters before I delve into my next sort of topic here? Because I got to crush you a couple more times before we leave.
No, I want to hear what you want to dive into.
Now, you know, I want to talk about Tom Brady and what's happening with him in all seriousness, because I find it absolutely fascinating. And it's not just... it's not just Tom Brady, the person, the football player, the competitor. There's so few guys, there's so few athletes that have competed at the level in which Tom has competed at consistently over the course of his career. And that's why we said earlier in the first segment when we talked about the Patriots, Cam Newton, Mac Jones, and ultimately if they wind up trading for Julio Jones, you know, who does it benefit the most? Is it benefiting Cam by having somebody come in that's got a much wider catch radius, a guy that wants to play with him, a guy that could potentially help restore Cam's confidence, which I think could go a long way towards making him a somewhat reliable, competitive NFL quarterback again? It's interesting. At 32 years old, Cam is still a physical machine, and the last thing usually to go is the arm. You see Joe Montana in ads right now, you know, throwing it 70 yards down the field at 65 years old. The last thing to go is the arm. But it seems like for Cam, the first thing is the arm. I think a lot of that's psychological. So you bring in a guy, you bring in his boy, that's known for making terrific catches with that radius that he has. And you think maybe after 3, 4, 5 games, he starts believing in himself again, and maybe that elevates him. Or does it make Mac Jones better? Because now you bring in that veteran wide receiver that immediately gives Mac confidence that he might not have with the Patriots group of young receivers right now. Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not dealing with any of that at this stage in his career. He just won his 7th Super Bowl. He's living large in Florida. He just bought a brand new mansion on an island with his supermodel wife, Giselle. His kids all look like they came out of like the perfect DNA factory. He's got a golden life. He'll never have to want for anything. His children's children, children's great-great-great-great-grandchildren will have money left over from Tom. I'm talking multiple generations to come. They've handled their money correctly. They don't make personal mistakes, and when they do, I mean, he and Giselle had, I guess, a tough year, but they were smart enough to deal with it the right way. And what do you know? They're not like, you know, A-Rod and J-Lo, you know, on the front page of People. They fix it. They keep it together. Their family comes first. They do everything right. Tom's out there yesterday at 43 years old, competing for his 8th Super Bowl across the street from the practice field at Tampa. He's hanging out where the Yankees spring training takes place with all his veteran wide receivers, including Gronk. And we're talking about, it's not even June yet, and he's already getting drilled into these guys. This is what we need to do. This is how we win. Follow me. Listen to me. Look at my rings. I'm not here to play. I'm here to win at this stage in my life and my career. And I'm thinking to myself, holy crap, you know, you got a team here in New England that they were the New England Tom Brady's. This was their legacy. This was what the Patriot way was built on, right? Why aren't they out there across the street from Foxborough finding a place to play. Well, why aren't we seeing these stories of Cam Newton grabbing some wide receivers or Mac Jones grabbing some talent and going out there and working on it? These guys have got a lot more to prove than Tom Brady does. Is what Tom Brady is doing like anything we will ever see again, or is he just wired so differently from the rest of the athletes that we cover on a day-in and day-out basis that we've almost become not bored and tired of it, but accustomed to seeing these stories about Tom?
In terms of the mindset, we're going to see it again. Tom's not the only person with that mindset, and you know who these guys are. The Kobes, the MJs, the Tiger Woods, the Gretzkys of the world, who have that driven, even more than these other elite athletes, mentality, where it's not I want to be the best, it's I have to be. And something that on top of that, that Tom learned from Bill, is how to sustain success. And so that's why he is not taking any chances with everyone on Tampa buying into the hype coming off this Super Bowl, where they're on the couch saying to their buddies, yeah, you know, we might go undefeated next season. No, he wants them down there at, in this case, the Yankees practice facility, spring training site, working on their game, because that's what it takes to actually go out and live up to the hype, as he's done repeatedly throughout his career. And when it comes to the Patriots, the reason they're not at Foxborough adjacent is because they're in the stadium working out. They had tremendous turnout.
I know.
Cam is there.
You're missing the
point,
though.
They're almost all there. But
they were there last week or the week before. You're missing the point.
They've been working off-site the whole offseason.
Oh, come on.
Guys have linked up.
So they've
been working out, whether it was in Los Angeles. They've been here at times working out. These guys, trust me, have been putting in the work.
So when you look at Tom Brady at 43 years old and look at what he's accomplishing right now, Is it possible? Can he continue to do it? I know Tom is talking about 45, but can he take it beyond that? Has the NFL sort of tweaked the rules enough and really built the game around the quarterback enough where if he stays lucky and doesn't suffer a catastrophic leg injury, shoulder injury because he gets hit from the blind side, can he continue to sustain this until he's 47, 48, 50 years old, knowing what he can do and cannot do and how he's managed to keep his body physically able to go out there and compete and perform on a week-in and week-out basis?
If he stays healthy, someone will pay him, presumably Tampa, to play past his age 45 season. So it becomes, does he want to? Is Giselle okay with that and willing to make that sacrifice? And so there's a bunch of external questions there off to the side, but fact remains, he's healthy. He wants to keep going. Tampa, some NFL team is going to employ him to play. And maybe he doesn't look like the Tom Brady we're accustomed to seeing for over 20 years, but he's still going to be able to get the ball out quickly and read the defense. So it's going to be more of a challenge, and he's not going to be as good of a quarterback, but he's still going to be able to handle a lot of the ingredients that make him elite.
So if you're an NFL general manager right now, president of football operations, and you got to pick a guy for 1 year, for next year, age is not a factor, just knowing who they are today as a player, to win a Super Bowl, is Tom still the guy?
If I'm the Las Vegas Raiders and Tom's age 47 and we don't have a quarterback, I'm trying so hard to sell him on what a business opportunity this can be as we grow football out in Las Vegas, and TB12 anything will build it.
So you, how do I say this? It was a great answer, but you didn't answer the question. Is Tom Brady still the guy to beat? Is he still the premier quarterback in the NFL? Again, we're not talking about signing a guy to $100 million over 3 or 4 years, but for 1 year next year, if Tom's a free agent, is he the most sought-after free agent in the NFL right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's still the quarterback to beat because he went head-to-head with Mahomes. Offensive line injuries or not, he beat him handedly, and so, you know, Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, throw me any quarterback you want. The guy at the top of the mountain is still Tom Brady, who had an amazing season in Tampa, given all the circumstances that are well documented. And so if he were to be a free agent, what team wouldn't be trying to vie for his services unless they have a young franchise quarterback and they don't want to rock the boat?
So if the Patriots knew now or knew then what they know now, do you think that they would have handled Tom differently?
Unfortunately, no, because what drove him out was Bill Belichick's ego and the fact that he needs to have complete control of the operation. So they had this great paradigm where on one hand, you have Bill who makes work this grinding atmosphere that is exhausting to be around that drove Rob Gronkowski out. And on the other hand, you had Brady, who's a little more laid back than that, as maniacal a competitor as he is. and Bill couldn't handle it. And Bill knows that it's even better for his legacy if he proves he can win a Super Bowl with another quarterback. And so Bill stopped getting Tom his weapons.
You believe that?
And he drove him out of Foxborough.
You actually believe that?
Brady didn't want to leave. It was always clear that this was Belichick's control and his ego driving him out of Gillette Stadium.
How did we just hit this topic with 10 minutes to go in the program? Like, that was fire. But I can't believe that Bill Belichick drove him out almost kind of on purpose. Like,
on purpose.
On purpose.
Calculated for years, dating probably even before he knew he had the guy in Garoppolo. Because remember, there was a stretch in the early 2010s when Brady's play was slipping, especially come playoff time.
Yep.
Garoppolo comes in, lights that fire under a maniacal competitor. Brady's back to being Brady, but he also is seeing, I've got a young franchise quarterback here who I think I can win with, and he's taken a huge gamble, and in year one of this, Brady wins a Super Bowl, and it's a stain on Bill's legacy.
So if Bill believes so much in Garoppolo and his ability to sort of come in and at least not be the next Brady, but at least win with him, so play at a level high enough where, you know, whatever Brady, so he can make up for whatever the difference between Brady and Garoppolo is, right?
Yep.
That's sort of what you believe Bill had to believe in Garoppolo. Then if you believe the stories that were out there this past offseason, and Garoppolo was going to take bringing him in at his full contract, which is $16 million, and the Patriots are offering him $9 million or whatever to rework the deal, why wasn't Bill willing to go the extra mile to bring his guy in? Because what better of a way to stick it to the rest of the league and stick it to Tom than to win, not only win without Tom, but to win with Jimmy G? It wasn't worth $8 million additional dollars just to make it happen?
Well, I think that what happened is that they were interested in Garoppolo, but they've also seen how it's played out, and that no one preaches the best ability is availability more than Bill Belichick, and he's seen all the injuries, so he still loves him some Jimmy G, but he's only willing to go so far to make it happen before another guiding principle of his, doing what's best for the team, takes over. And Bill Belichick is not a guy you play chicken with. He has his limits. He doesn't play games in this sense, and he's not going to budge.
So repeat what you just said. Doing what?
Playing chicken?
No, doing what's best
for the team.
That's what Bill Belichick preaches and believes in, correct?
It's a guiding principle of his.
Guiding principle. So was it a guiding principle during the 3, 4, 5 years where he calculated, in a calculated manner, sort of pushed Tom Brady out of town? Was that what was best for the team or best for Bill's legacy?
Of course, and that's what I was trying to say there. Maybe I didn't communicate it effectively enough, but there's also the dynamic where Bill Belichick has a massive ego, where Bill Belichick is a control freak to the nth degree. And so he wants total control of the operation. He is starting to think about, hey, I've seen what could happen if I had someone like Garoppolo when he was still with the Patriots and started to vision winning a Super Bowl with someone else besides Tom, so that they can't say, we saw what he did in Cleveland. That guy is just a product of Brady. And now after 1 year, it looks worse in that regard.
It does. And that's why it's so interesting to me that the Patriots didn't go all in to bring Garoppolo here. Because no matter how you slice it, plenty of fans are excited about bringing Mac Jones. And I understand that. And maybe he will evolve into becoming a franchise quarterback. But it's not going to happen this year. In the meantime, you got the same reclamation project you had last year. Now, reclamation project is a nice way of putting it based on what we saw from Cam Newton's arm last year. We saw that he still has the strength, still has the legs, led the league for quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns, so there's still something there. Super competitive, and you also said the best ability is availability. Well, Cam had struggled with injuries in recent years, but last year he was a horse for this team. And you got to believe that played some part in Bill's confidence in bringing him back. And maybe that confidence only goes as high as the contract they gave him. Again, you know, he comes back for short money. But there's got to be some value there and some respect earned for being a guy that struggled with injuries in recent years. But despite the fact that he was having an abysmal throwing season, still found a way to get on the field week in and week out. You got to believe that that earned some serious brownie points with Belichick.
Also, Cam came in, and he was exactly what that organization, not just the players on the roster, needed as they reset the working environment.
What a distraction.
There and moved on from Brady. No, someone who can bring some energy back into the building, who can make it fun again, because it really wasn't in Tom's last year there.
He wears funny hats, like with feathers. Like what's
because he's a fun expressive, energetic individual.
Sure.
So when, you know, when they go to the practice field, they're excited to get out there. When they sign Cam Newton, players are tweeting left and right that all of a sudden we believe again, because no one believes in Jared Stidham, with all due respect to him. He was not the guy. He was never going to be the guy. He isn't the guy. So all of a sudden, players say, Cam is one of the most popular figures in the league for a variety of reasons. So we love Cam. We're excited he's on our team. We think we can compete with him. And even when it's clear that, okay, maybe the ceiling is not a Lombardi trophy anymore for this season in a vacuum, it's still fun to go to work again. And that has more to do with Cam Newton last season for the Patriots than anyone else in that organization.
Well, to prove your point, Julio Jones wants to come here to play with Cam, despite the fact that he was the worst touchdown thrower in the league last year.
Well, so can I give you one more even on that front? That Cam Newton ranked fifth when it came to completion percentage throws 10-plus yards down the field. He still has the arm strength. He's just not someone who's going to hit the short putts.
Well, Cam Newton brings excitement. Also excited right now is AC behind the glass. We got to go to a break. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Bobby Kravitzky. We are the Diehards.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards right here, SportsMap Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Bobby Kravitzky. Bobby, you're a young guy. You got lots of things going on in your life. So if you need a home loan that fits your life, never forget that Rocket can.
Mental note.
Mental note, Rocket can. So this was fun. Another, I'll say this. 2 weeks in a row doing a show with you. 2 weeks in a row, I'm about ready to leave, and the 2 hours has flown by. More impressive this week, you made the hour fly by, 2 hours fly by, despite the fact the Celtics got their asses kicked.
I tried
kicked.
To take your mind off it.
A complete distraction.
Look away from the screen.
You've
you
saved me.
You don't want to see what the horror show going on over there.
My therapy copay is like $200. You saved it this week. I appreciate that. It's time. It's invaluable. I can give that back to my children. Thank you, Bobby Kravitzky.
Pay it forward. Love
All
to
right,
see
there
it.
There he goes. Bobby Kravitzky, Patrick Gilroy. Thanks, AC and Jackson behind the glass. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards. Pepe, back tomorrow. Bye-bye.